Hey. Yeah, you. Hey. I'm talking to you. Don't tell anybody, but this is Billy West. For real. I'm really here. And, do I gotta prove it? All right. Hey, shut up and take my money. Shut up, you young idiot.
Shut up, both of you.
I don't care. Tell me to shut up. Tell me to talk. I'll talk.
Well, anyway, what these people are trying to say is, this is Project Nerd.
Well, folks, it's time to kick it old school. So you can feel cool. Give it to me, baby. Yeah.
It is the Nerdcast, episode 139, Adam, Tyler, and Iggy. We have plenty of things to talk about this week, including some directing changes for Star Wars. First look at Superman's new black suit. Mario's no longer a plumber. Plenty of fantasy movie league and video game talk, as well as some cool things we did over the past couple weeks, as well as Colorado Springs Comic Con. So welcome to the podcast, guys. What's going on?
Yo.
What up, buddy?
We have to hurry because Adam has something that happens here in about an hour and a half.
What happens?
I'm all right. No, it's, well, it's 12 Eastern. Damn it.
We have 11 to hurry,
probably. Yeah. Destiny 2 servers go live at midnight Eastern time.
So you got the game. You got the game already, but the servers don't go live? How's that
work?
Yeah,
yeah. So
you buy it digitally.
Right, I bought digital download, and if you buy the digital version of the game directly from PlayStation or Xbox One, you can download the game, but you can't do anything with it until the servers go live. So it's been sitting on my PlayStation home screen since Friday. Went live Friday and downloaded overnight. So I'm just patiently waiting.
Man, no wonder why you kept yourself busy this weekend.
I had needed something to do, yeah.
Distract you.
I'm torn because I want to get back into it. The second one looks good. And I don't know if I want to get back into it with PS4 because I have a lot of friends who still play it on PS4. But I played the demo on the PC. And oh my God, it's a thing of beauty on the PC.
Well, how is the gunplay? Yeah, because I know obviously you can get way more accurate with the PC than you can.
So like
what they do with the aim assist though, that was what I was worried about.
So the aim assist is still sort of there with keyboard and mouse, but if you hook up a controller, it's on another level. I'm assuming that'll get patched because the aim assist, if you use a controller, I did a little bit of both. I think if I bought it for PC, I would probably use a controller for most of the basic like PvE stuff and then use a keyboard and mouse for if I did PvP or stuff, but either one felt good. I'm just so used to playing it on a controller. And I've got a couple controllers for my computer, but the graph, I mean, it almost looks like they coded it for PC, like unlimited frame rate. I was running like 100 frames per second, like max settings. And it looked like it looks good on PS4. It looks like a different game on the PC. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they did it for the pros and the Xbox One X or Elite or whatever they call their upgraded version that does the 4K video output. And so, I mean, it's ready to go, but the consoles are going to be capped at 30 frames per second. So
yeah,
a little bit lower.
I played it on both and it looks, I mean, not even frames per second, just not just that. Cause usually a lot of ports, like they look okay, but even if you crank them up to 11, you get a slightly better look than what you get on a console. And this one looks, it's really, really good on the PC. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. I haven't had a chance to look at it. I know friends who bought the Destiny PS4 Pro.
Yeah,
that's coming out with it and 4K TVs, and they're upgrading all of their audio visual stuff around the house around this game specifically. So I'm interested to hear what they have to say because they've still got their old PS4s as well. So I'm interested to like have them play it on both and tell me what they think about the difference.
I faded in and out with Destiny 1, but I know friends who stayed hardcore all the way through. Like, I know one of my buddies, he just called me. He bought it digitally, but then he also bought the collector's edition physically. And he's on his way home now to start playing he's going to stream and play a 24-hour stretch starting at 11 p.m. With a couple of us. I'm sure he got whatever the biggest one was. So
I don't think there was a time in the past year that my son logged on to play Destiny that Adam wasn't already online playing. So
It's a lot of fun. They did a really good job, and I'm very excited about the additions that they added to the new one. I'm a little I was hesitant leading into it about a couple different other things, but the beta really kind of calmed my fears in terms of, is it different enough to warrant being a whole new game, and is it the same enough to still be the Destiny that I know and love? And I feel mostly calm about both of those questions. So it's just be getting used to the new gunplay and the new gun system as well, and the new supers and specials and subclasses, that kind of stuff. So,
well, Destiny was the last game that I played like on a regular basis that I like actually sat down and gamed. It's been a couple of years. I haven't played many video games the past couple of years. We were just talking about this before we started recording. I was super excited because last week was my birthday, and as little children as we are, non-grown-ups, we went out after the baseball game, of course, to the 1UP arcade here in Denver and played some fun video games. Some skee-ball as well. I had to own it and some skee-ball. But I was definitely considering Destiny 2 because I also have enough store credit at a store. I traded in a bunch of movies and I was like, yeah, I'll take the store credit because it's like almost double what they were going to give me for cash. And it's one of those stores where like movies cost like $40 like for a new Blu-ray, or like books are like twice the price as Amazon. So I have the store credit just sitting there for no reason. So I'm really contemplating, even though I may not give it enough time, Destiny 2. But then I also remembered I no longer own a PlayStation, and I'm like, who am I going to play with? So I need to get a PlayStation as well, I guess.
You get the new one. You get your Pro.
Do it. Yeah, get the Pro. So you've
got the 4K TV. I got the 4K TV. Know, so
it's got full 4K video streaming. So you can't buy 4K movies with the Pro. Like if you buy a physical version, they won't play, but the 4K streaming from Amazon, all those others will, you'll be set and ready to go.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm considering, I don't know. I'm torn right now. I've got a completely empty Best Buy card sitting there. I don't know if I want to upgrade the television and get a really nice TV, or if I want to get all new computer monitors.
You know the deal, just wait until 2 weeks before Super Bowl and get all of it. And it'll end up being as cheap as you can get a 4K TV right now. Yeah. Be able to add the monitors and do it right.
Yeah, I need some new monitors and maybe a second graphics card. We'll see.
So Destiny is definitely the big topic this week. Adam will be probably spending the rest of his night there. So we'll make sure we get out of here in an hour's time, so you have even prep time and everything. Got to get those pizza rolls ready, right? So
Doritos Mountain Dew.
Two Mountain Dews in the fridge and a DiGiorno pizza in the freezer. We're not doing pizza rolls.
Okay, we're going straight DiGiorno. We're going straight DiGiorno. All right. But yeah, we're interested to see how many people bought it, pre-ordered it. I know, like many big releases, of course, there was a lot of like downloadable content with the different pre-orders from different places and stuff. So let us know in the comments, of course, what you got. And then Tyler, we'll let you know which version he goes with, and I will let you know if I finally decide to come back to the video game world enough. We'll find out. I don't know. It's pretty tempting because I really like Destiny because it had a lot of the similar gameplay as Halo, which has been one of my favorites for a long time. So,
well, I mean, for obvious reasons. And if you get a PlayStation, I can talk you into downloading Diablo, and then we can get Tyler to get Diablo, and then all will be right in the world.
This does not sound like a productive plan for me. It does not sound like my fall will be very productive.
I just need you guys to upgrade your computers, and we could play Diablo on the PC. As it was meant to be,
buddy. Like, don't worry, it'll be productive. We're gonna do work. It's just very specific work is all.
Just not work that's gonna really benefit me anywhere in life, right?
I don't know. Does my Battle.net account work on both the PC and the PS4? Like, if I move over to PS4, do I get to keep all my sweet pets and character frames and stuff like that?
That's a really good question. I don't have an answer for that, Tyler.
I have some pretty sweet seasonal pets that I wouldn't want to lose.
Yeah, I bet I can find an answer. I know a guy who knows a guy who can get an answer for us. I'll find out. Not right now, but at some point in time, I'll find out.
Yeah, and active and
there's a lot in Google, but it's all about Overwatch. Overwatch. Well,
that's obviously the bigger concern right now.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not fighting anything.
Overwatch is one of the few games that I actually own on both PC and PS4, but I haven't played it on PS4 in ages, so I couldn't tell you if any of my skin, any of my like skins and stuff carry over. Do they? Does it say? Google faster.
This is that high quality podcast.
The answer is no, they do not.
Well, fuck that.
You'll be able to switch your stats in your account page. Look, this person says they didn't lose their skins or anything, but it didn't unlock their legendary Reaper skin from the PC on the PS4. So it's just for stats records. I don't know what they're saying. I don't speak Battle.net language. It sounded like the guy said yes and no in the same response.
Those skins are important because, like, now that so many Blizzard games are going to, because I own, I guess every, do I own? Yeah, I own every Blizzard game currently, like to its max, like expansion. So WoW, Diablo, StarCraft II, Hearthstone. I don't really play Hearthstone, but Heroes of the Storm, Overwatch. But Overwatch and Diablo are the only two that you can play on console. So, but Overwatch is very serious about those loot chests, man. Got to get those sprays. You got to get those skins. You got to get those lines.
And I got the upgrade I bought or the Rise of the Necromancer DLC or the Collector's Edition for Diablo 3 got me the Mercy Wings.
Yeah, so that's always the
Diablo characters. So that's pretty dope.
That's always the how they get you on Blizzard. Like buying a Collector's Edition of any Blizzard game will always get you perks in all their other games. It's like, hey, buy the Collector's Edition of WoW and get this sweet exclusive like unit for StarCraft and get this cool skin for this character in Overwatch and get this other cool character for Heroes of the Storm. That's how they get you. Or get this cool card back for Hearthstone. It's all part of the plan.
World domination. So Destiny 2, we'll update you next week after we get some progress on it, because as of recording, it's still waiting.
Oh yeah, I was super bummed. I got a buddy who lives in Australia, and he's just been playing it like solid since like 2 o'clock. And I'm like, oh, you bastard! And I didn't talk to him. I was like tempted to invite him to a party and be like, dude, just tell me everything. Tell me, just turn your TV up so I can listen to it. But I didn't. I'll wait. I'm gonna wait.
You're on mute, Tyler. More quality podcast right here.
There's a lot of Twitch streams. I thought about checking one out, but I've held back. So I don't know. I've been playing WoW because I kind of faded off at the end of this last raid, and then a new patch came out last week, and now we're fighting on Argus, which if you're into WoW, is pretty badass. So this is week 2 of patch 7.3, and leading up to another raid coming here in a few weeks. So it's pretty dope.
So since the last time we recorded, we had a very fun convention down in Colorado Springs, Colorado Springs Comic Con. We were joined by a number of people representing their own brands, kind of sharing the space with Project Nerd, Project Cosplay, Project Nerd Publishing, of course. But we had all our comics. We finally had, this is the first show, we had all our covers for Billy. We had a full inventory of Billy. So that was pretty cool. We were definitely the party booth at the show, that's for sure. We had a great time, we'll just say. It was a birthday weekend celebration, so there was plenty of great time going on there. But it was fun. I think Colorado Springs Comic Con is a good show. We didn't move as many comics as we did the year before, but we still had a great time. Some great people helping us, and like I said, some great friends around. Night Mage came in from out of town and had a booth set up to us. He raised some good money for charity there. I think it was the local Make-A-Wish Foundation is what he was working with that weekend. And then, of course, plenty of cosplay ladies with us. So we got all the interesting guys coming by the section. But we'll be set up pretty similar in Rocky Mountain Con. No Night Mage, unfortunately, although we'd love to have him there. But we do have, with the Gregoron Geeks who are bringing out some of the cosplayers, we're getting set up in the same section with them again. And that is September. It's actually 29th through October 1st. So every time we podcast, I talk about Project Nerd Publishing being at Rocky Mountain Con on September 30th and October 1st because it's traditionally been a two-day convention. But it's actually a three-day con this year, guys. And what's rough about that is I've used a lot of vacation time on the day job for these previous cons. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to be there for Friday. So that'll be a fun trick. If you guys have any advice on that, definitely let us know in the comments. But yeah, from Colorado Springs Comic Con to Rocky Mountain Con here in Denver. So a couple local shows we get to do with. But moving on, Tyler is back in Fantasy Movie League. And although he technically tied with Aaron for first place, they awarded it to Tyler. They awarded him the week win. He's got it next to his name. He's sitting in the number one spot with and Aaron's sitting in the number one spot too. It says rank is number one, but he doesn't have the weekly win because they add those weekly wins together. So I don't know what Tyler did to rig the system, but he did something.
It's highly suspect, that's for sure.
It's based on past performance. It knows that I've won multiple seasons in the past, and it's like, yeah, we'll just give it to the veteran. Took a little time off to let everyone else like find their way, figure it out. Now I'm back to
in my. By everyone else, he meant Mr. Aaron Blackman to destroy us for a whole season. But yeah, we just started, so this is the first week of the fall season, whatever they're calling it. And so with that, we start anew. So Aaron's no longer kicking our ass. Well, I mean, he was no longer.
A little bit. It's a little less kicking the first week, but that's okay.
It wasn't that bad. From first to last place, there's only about $12 million dollar difference. So that's not huge. That can easily be made up in 1 week. That can easily be made up if Aaron and Tyler trip.
It was also the worst Labor Day movie weekend in 17 years. So there wasn't a lot of dollars out there to be had. No. So it was like the margins were going to be small.
Well, you figure you're not getting any of the Texas money. Those folks they got stuff going on down there. They weren't making it out to the movie theater. So, I mean, you know, it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, a grand total of like 70 million or something like that for the whole weekend. The 4 day, that's wild.
I mean, the big one, Hitman's Bodyguard won the 4 day weekend with $13 million.
$13 million.
The lowest 4 day weekend, Labor Day weekend total in 17 years. You have to go all the way back to.
Yeah, what was that movie in 2000?
Well, not single by total. So the top 12 grossed a combined $51.5 million. The last time it was worse than that was in 2000 when the top 12 grossed $47
million. So that's not inflated, by the way. That's actual numbers versus numbers. So
right, like for like. What was
you're
that
in
movie?
The future where it should be higher.
I honestly, let's see, Labor Day weekend 2012, Labor
Day. Was it 2012 or 2000?
Or 2000.
2000, right.
Box office.
It might have been 2012. That really bad.
That wasn't that long ago, was it? That was a terrible movie, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't that long ago. Last time we recorded, we talked about the awesome movies in 1999. So 2000 must have been a hangover year after the incredible 1999. That's the only explanation.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, 2000 was not a...
Share with the class.
So the three highest grossing movies in 2000 for that weekend. So it was September... That year, the weekend was September 1st. And in third place with $2.7 million was Whipped, which is... I don't know anything about it, but I'm looking at the movie poster for it and... It was an R-rated comedy. There's a hot girl and then like five dudes without shirts on the front of it.
Sounds like a winner.
Number something in second was Saving Grace. Crime comedy, Fine Line Pictures. I'm looking at the title here. It had Brendan Gleeson in it though. Yeah, I think that says Brendan. I can't say that. No, maybe not. Craig Ferguson was the star of it. Craig Ferguson was the star of that movie.
which tells like you the, something.
I like the concern in your voice the second time.
I love Craig Ferguson.
He's a funny guy.
Not a leading man, he is not.
Well, and I looked up Whipped for you, and that hot girl with the five guys, that's Amanda Peet.
Is it really? Let me look at the. Yeah. Wow. Oh, it is. It is Amanda Peet.
It's Amanda Peet.
It is. Look at that. And then now here's the winner. This is I actually have seen this movie. The winner. Well, was that the whole? Okay, so these are by total. No, this is that weekend. It made half of its total gross on that weekend, and that movie was, with $6.2 million at the box office on the four-day weekend, Highlander Endgame. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Highlander, that was like the crossover event that had both Christopher Lambert and Adrian Paul, the two different McLeods from the movies and the TV show. So
Connor and Duncan, please. Wow, show proper respect.
Connor
that
and
won,
in one
that
movie.
Won a weekend? That won a weekend it at won, the box
that,
office?
That won the Labor Day weekend at the box office.
Wow. With $6.2 million. Man, do not knock on 2017's Labor Day weekend. After listening to what happened in 2017 is still a fantastic Labor Day weekend at the theaters.
Okay, so I'm gonna just go out on a limb right now, and I see a couple movies. So there are a few movies. We're not gonna do what we did last week. I'm going to keep it with like the top 10. But in 2000, the highest grossing movies in 2000, and did this open in?
It's not gonna compare to 99. It's not gonna. We were down to what, like the 60s and 70s, and still naming like fantastic movies. Like,
I'd watch that movie.
There are at least three movies in the top 10 that were all like that were very good movies. The second highest grossing movie in 2000 was Castaway. The fourth highest grossing movie in 2000 was Gladiator. And the sixth highest grossing movie in 2000 was The Perfect Storm. Now the highest grossing movie in 2000 was
Adam and I gave the same look to A Perfect Storm, by the way. I don't know, it Tyler, you're liking that movie a little too much, maybe.
It was a good movie. It got a little overhyped, but it was a good film.
I'm okay with you liking that movie. I'm not okay with you saying, like, staunchly defending it.
Here's the thing. It is significantly better than the other seven movies I'm about to name.
All right, let's go.
Number one, highest grossing movie of 2000, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, starring Jim Carrey. Followed by Castaway, followed by probably the weakest of all the Mission Impossibles, Mission Impossible 2.
I would agree. That's definitely, it's not a probably, it is the weakest.
That cliff climbing scene, bro.
Number four, Gladiator. Number five, a bit of a guilty pleasure back when people still, like, you were, it's okay to like him. What Women Want, starring Mel Gibson. Pre everyone hating him. Number
it
six,
it was clever.
It had Marissa Tomei in it, and
there you go.
Yeah,
no explanation needed.
Number six, The Perfect Storm. Number seven, the original Meet the Parents. Number eight, the original X-Men. Number nine, Scary Movie, and number 10, What Lies Beneath.
Okay, so hold on. You're taking The Perfect Storm over X-Men. And what was the other one right before X-Men?
Meet the Parents.
Meet the Parents. I mean, Meet the Parents is funny. It hasn't held up well, but in its day, it was definitely funny.
Yeah. I mean, there's some other ones popping up there. There was movies just didn't make any money back then. Like, I'm seeing some, like, what I would consider to be some pretty big movies on this list. Traffic, Aaron Brockovich, the first Charlie's Angels, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. The Patriot, Miss Congeniality, and like number one is $260 million, and by the time you're at number 10, you're already at $155 million. I mean, we have movies that make that in a weekend now. So, like, obviously inflation is somewhere to the, but the fact that we had a weekend this year that made less, I mean, is made slightly more money than a weekend in this year, and then that year is pretty, it's been a bad Labor Day weekend for the box office.
I'm gonna let you know. People were still waiting for those movies to come out at Blockbuster back in 2000, bro. Like, they were, it's like, I'm not going to go see that.
Blockbuster?
I'm going to wait for Blockbuster.
Okay. So, I mean, I remember when I was in my sophomore year of college, junior year of college, I had won some contest at a like basketball game, and I got a card that allowed me one free rental every week for a year from Blockbuster. So I had 52 free movie rentals. And my best friend, Beth, and I, every Wednesday, I would go and pick out a new release and read it and rent it for free. And this is back when they had just introduced their, like, no late fees ever to try and, like, save the business. And I would, and you can only keep new releases for like 4 days or 5 days. I would keep it up until Wednesday, and I would show back up on Wednesday, return it, pick out another new release, have them refund my late fees, and then rent that movie. Because the late fees were still in their computer system, they would just clear them out every time you returned a movie. By the end of the year, I had rented 52 movies for free, and because of all the deleting of late credits and problems with their system, I somehow ended up with like $50 of credit on my account. So you continued to rent movies for free for at least another like 2 or 3 weeks.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why Blockbuster is no longer here.
Exactly. All you Blockbuster stockholders, this guy right here is the one that did it to
you. The Blockbuster that I used to rent all those movies from now, last I checked, is a big liquor store now at the corner of Seth Child and
I'm going to say upgrade.
I know that. I know exactly what Blockbuster you're talking about right there by the, let's see, there's a, like a Papa John's or a...
It's a Papa Murphy's over by Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
It's on that. It's on that. Not. Oh, it's Mill. Is it Mill Ave? It's that weird little side street that crosses behind Westport. Yeah. So that's right.
The fridge, right?
Yeah.
The fridges. Yeah.
That's a quality liquor store, by the way.
Well, it used to be a quality Blockbuster. There you go. But yeah, so 2000, not a dollars wise, not a great year for movies.
Well, neither was Labor Day weekend 2017. We'll just put it that way. But for Fantasy Movie League, it was a fair play. But we've just had a slow few weeks with release here. So what do we have coming up here? Nothing
it,
really
it's
this
it
week.
Weekend. It's
oh,
it
yes. this weekend. I mean, this will be a big one.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got something this weekend. All right. So we've got it, and then the week after that, probably go to it again, and then September 22nd, we've got Kingsman 2 for the rated R people, and then Ninjago, so a Lego-based movie for the kids, which the Lego movies do pretty well.
Next weekend, you've got, I mean, a lot of people.
Is this the Ninjago one that doesn't actually look like Legos?
No,
they got one coming out that is like a Lego-themed Lego movie that I watched the trailer. And it doesn't look like Legos.
No, the movie poster for Ninjago looks like Legos. They look like the Lego characters. So I'm assuming it's the Lego one. But so we got that in 2 weeks. We got Kingsman 2.
I think you're selling next week a little bit short.
On what?
Well, I mean, American Assassin has had a lot of buzz and a lot of like...
Has it?
Yeah, it's got Michael Keaton in it.
Yeah, but I mean... I mean, Michael Keaton's getting to that point to where he's kind of in everything.
It has a lot of, but name something he's been in that wasn't good recently.
Fair argument.
Did you guys see Founder?
Yeah, Founder's fantastic.
Oh, man, it is amazing. And he is phenomenal.
If you haven't, it's on Netflix.
He's pretty good on it.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix right now. Go and watch it. And then also next week is Mother, the Aronofsky Jennifer Lawrence movie. So
maybe I am selling a little short, but as much as
I mean, we don't get Aronofsky movies every
but also Aronofsky's movie is not going to be huge box office pull, so it's not gonna pull in big box office numbers.
But I mean, you get Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer in it. It's gonna
pull in my box office numbers. I can tell you that. I'm seeing
now it. I should have my movie pass card by then, so I should be good to go.
So I mean, that's gonna make some money. I mean, it's not gonna make, you know,
Kingsman money,
but it's there.
But you got so you got that next week, and or you got it this week. Okay, so American Assassin and Mother next week, Kingsman 2, Ninjago, and even which it's limited release, but Battle of the Sexes on September 22nd, September 29th, American Made, Flatliners, and then October 6th. I know you guys are waiting for it too, Blade Runner 2049.
Oh my god!
So we're just a month away from Blade Runner. I'm pretty excited. There's also I don't know how I feel about it.
I might be driving 3 hours to see it in a draft house. I don't know.
In a draft house? I mean, that's a good decision.
What's the closest draft house to you?
Springfield. And I got people that live there. So
Tyler was debating on meeting you there. That's why he was asking.
I'm saying I have a draft house 10 minutes from my house, but I'm a little bit farther than 3 hours away.
Right, but that's like at least 6 hours up to you.
Yeah, you got people in Kansas City too.
I do have lots of people in Kansas City. I know it's tough, but I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
I've got a glorious XD screen here from my Cinemark. They do a really good job there too. I'm going to see it more than once, so who knows?
Well, if you're playing Fantasy Movie League this week, it is the it. I think this is the first time I've seen a horror movie. I've seen like a non, like, comic Star Wars blockbuster be divided into the 3 days, how they do it sometimes. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday choice. So really, and they're not, none of them are too expensive. You could go with two of any of those days. So Friday is probably the most expensive one, where it's almost half your budget that you can spend. And that Saturday, Sunday pull though, that looks like a good decision to go Saturday, Sunday there. I don't know. I won't release my strategy because I know Tyler and Aaron will copy me, but
I have, yeah, that's going to happen. I have already, I will tell you right now,
my lineup's set.
Yeah. I have already locked my board and, I won't tell you what I picked, but I will give you a hint that I spent exactly $1,000.
Me too. I have $0 left.
I'm going to figure out how to do this. So
there's probably multiple ways to do
it. I want it to be a four-way tie for first place this week, though. Let's see what happens. Is it going to be like baseball's wild card showdown? We get a three-way tie, which is possible.
I did look it up, and the ties are settled by who locked their final lineup first. So nice. Whenever you stop touching it, that was it.
Aaron, we know you're listening. You're already late this week because Tyler and Adam have already beat you. And we know you're going to beat me. So there's no reason you have to compete with locking it up before me. However, next week, make sure Tuesday, as early as you can, you get that lineup set.
Do you anything to choose your Ziggy, or do you just sit down and just click on stuff?
It depends on the week.
The reason I ask is because eventually, like, I mean, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while.
Wow. I won. Won a week last season, didn't I? Maybe. I don't know. Let me see.
That everyone else forgot to set their lineups.
Possibly. So I think there was some time in the last two seasons where people forgot to set their lineups, and I won. No, so actually, I think that is an accurate statement.
I'm gonna look. So last season, Iggy won 0. Summer 2017. Spring of 2017, Iggy
Summer
won
was a 0. Rough season. Okay, so maybe I'm exaggerating.
Award season 2017, Iggy won 2.
That was during the holidays before you guys had forgot to set yourself. I'm not even gonna pretend like I did anything special. You both Adam was traveling and Tyler was working like way overtime, and you both missed it for a couple weeks, and I banked on that Star Wars and destroyed it for two weeks.
And
you go back to the podcast, and I celebrated like crazy. I tap danced over both of y'all's ass, and I'll do it again if I win.
My personal favorite is fall of 2016 season.
Whatever.
Iggy won 2. I won 1, and it was the only. It was the first week of the season I set my lineup, and then never set it again. Like, that's when I quit. And then summer of 2016, Iggy won 0. Spring of 2016, Iggy won 1. So what are we up to? 4 or 5 now?
Five. Don't discount me.
Award season 2006, Iggy won 1.
6. So I'm at 6.
It's impressive. Fall of 2015, Iggy won, 3. Still less than Adam and I. just in case anyone's keeping score. And then summer of 2015, the very first season, Iggy won 0. That was Adam's big one. Adam, I honestly don't know how this worked out, Adam, to be honest with you. Oh, it was only a 4. How does that even work?
We started in the middle. Like, that's when we started playing. So we started like when the season was almost over.
Yeah, it says you have 11 wins that season, but I still won the season by like 200 and something.
Yeah, we didn't play. We didn't play 11 weeks.
I don't think you even played, yeah.
It says you had 11 wins, though.
I remember it was because you guys debated over Adam had more weekly wins, but somehow Tyler won the whole thing in 4 weeks. And we were calling it, Adam and I were calling it preseason, and Tyler was all like, no, I won it all. I won it all. Like, he was pretty bragging about it. You can go back to those podcasts.
Proceeded to win the season after that, and the season after that, like, in a walk.
Are you done bragging yet, Tyler? Are you done bragging?
I'm just letting you know, like, I quit for a while to give you guys a chance to win some seasons, and you didn't. So now I'm back, and shit's going to get real.
Well, hey, to be fair, I won one season where I only won like 1 or 2 weeks because I was like, you guys kept changing first places and I was just right there, number two every week, not worrying about it.
Oh, I won. Well, because there for a
while, I smell it. This is my 10th win here. This is my 10th
only,
win
the only there for a while. The only contest was Anne. It was Anne and I, like especially like spring 2016. I won with 946. Anne was literally right behind me with 937, and Adam was behind us at 900. And then it's about 200 and some million dollars, and there's Iggy at like 736. So, I'm glad to be back now. Show you guys what's up.
I'm looking at my lineup. I'm going to figure out something this week. I have to win now. All right. So Fantasy Movie League, you know, we're still playing. It's still early in this season. So if you guys want to jump on board in the Project Nerd League, shoot us a message and we'll send you the invite, get you in. I don't know. Maybe you can sneak up and take out Tyler and Aaron, but I don't know. Tyler's got the system rigged definitely for them giving him that first place. But in big movie news, so not a movie that's coming out anytime soon, but we had the Han Solo project that's due out next year, already lost a director earlier this year. And now we're at episode 9 where director Colin Trevorrow is out. He's out. So there's another Star Wars movie with the director out. The name most circling it right now in the first couple days of this happening is Rian Johnson, but another director out, guys.
This doesn't concern me nearly as much as the Han Solo one. Cause they're not, I mean, are they even in pre-production yet? I know Johnson did the script. So if he's the one who ends up helming this after helming 8 and doing the script for 9, I'm okay with that. But I mean, this movie release date is 2019, so you know it's a ways away still.
Yeah, I'm reading and I'm not seeing anything about pre-production or anything like that, so I don't know for sure. Usually they highlight that stuff if it is already in process. So and you're talking about, you know, Johnson wrote the script. Johnson's also more, I guess you could say, acclaimed director. I would put more money behind Johnson. And then I don't know too much about Trevorrow. I know the name they're dropping for him, which was a fun movie, was it Safety Not Guaranteed? But if that's your big ticket, you know.
He has one other big ticket.
Which is?
He made one of the highest grossing movies in the last couple of years.
Which is?
Jurassic World.
Oh, did he? Okay. I didn't see that one.
Yeah. They didn't hire him based on Safety Not Guaranteed.
Okay. I was going to say, well, the Nerdist needs to step up their game because they're mentioning Safety Not Guaranteed here. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that was definitely the movie that put him on the map as like a filmmaker, but he made a movie this year that just tanked and like got really bad reviews. He made that, the one with the really smart kid, The Book of Henry. He did that one. And it just, like, it didn't make any money. The reviews were terrible. But I think this is very telling. And I think part of it is, like, them being worried. I think part of it is, like, that relationship of that machine that is Lucasfilms and Kathleen Kennedy is after J.J. Abrams came out with The Force Awakens, everything went super well. They went out and they got really, like, aggressive and went out and got, like, young, like, on the edge. I mean, think about it. Like they've got at any given time they've had at the helm of various movies Josh Trank, Gareth Edwards, Rian Johnson, Lorden Miller, Trevorrow, and since that's happened, Josh Trank never filmed anything. He got fired before he even had a chance to get behind the camera. Gareth Edwards basically had Rogue One all but taken away from him by Tony Gilroy. Like they completely reshot the movie and changed it. Phil Lord and Chris Miller got fired. Colin Trevorrow has, for all intents and purposes, been fired or mutually parted ways because apparently his relationship with Lucasfilm and Kathleen Kennedy trying to rewrite the script was going south real fast. And they've gone from like super, I don't know if risky is the right word, but they went from, you know, they went from like, let's go out and get super young and up and coming guys to like full on conservatism. Like, okay, never mind Lorden Miller or Edwards or Josh Trank or Rian Johnson. Let's go get who's the safest possible bet on the planet? Oh, okay, Ron Howard. Let's go get him.
Opie, yeah.
they went from out there and super aggressive and exciting and risky to as conservative as humanly possible. Like, at this point, I would not be surprised if number nine ends up being directed by, like, J.J. Abrams again. And they just go all in on, like, fucking...
Well, Johnson's doing The Last Jedi, right? He's already doing The Last Jedi. So we're going to get a fair... I mean, we're going to see what he's got for us this winter. So we're going to see it already. And if it's good results, which, I mean, I think most of us have high hopes for already, then I'm not too worried about the last one if he takes it over. Or last one, episode nine. I know it won't be the last one. Disney will pump that drive for sure. But at the same time, if they did go back to J.J. Abrams, I don't think any of us were disappointed with The Force Awakens.
Yeah. And then to this point, like... And Rian Johnson, of the ones who's made, I mean, he's obviously managed to keep his gig. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of, what's the word? I mean, his movies up to this point are, he's got one really big one out there.
Looper.
I mean, Looper is really it. I mean, the
blood. But his name is more established than Trevorrow, but once you drop the Jurassic World to me, that's where I had to definitely retract my comments because Jurassic World's definitely a bigger deal than Looper. I like Looper. I think it's underrated. It was a really well done sci-fi movie. However, I mean, Jurassic World was a blockbuster. Yeah,
and he did that independent film Brick. That was the one that, like, really put him on the map. The one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's like the weird, like, film noir, but set in, like, California suburb, like.
He did the Brothers Bloom also, which I think is a good movie.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about? So Jurassic World got a little bit of blowback for being, you know, a retread of Jurassic Park, right? So people are like, oh, it's like the same thing, which it's a Jurassic Park movie. Dinosaurs escape and eat people. I don't know what people were expecting. But you also got a little bit of that with episode 7, right? So a lot of people saying that, oh, it's basically episode 4, just slightly new characters and new settings, but the same story. Like, you even get, like, droids getting lost in deserts and, like, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm wondering, were they, you know, is there worry from Disney's standpoint that if we put a guy who's already got that mentality in charge of a movie, is that's probably going to feel a little bit like Return of the Jedi? Are we just inviting that criticism ahead of?
No, because the one thing that Disney wants more than anything is for them just to remake Return of the Jedi. Don't do anything fun or exciting.
I mean, yeah, right.
Make the same fucking movie again. So, like, not unlike Jurassic World and The Force Awakens, it will make all the money. Like, those two movies made obscene amounts of money. People can bitch and moan all they want after it's already... And all that stuff always comes out, like, a month later after it's already made its money. It's like, well, you know, it was kind of just like a remake of A New Hope. Yeah, well, you went and saw it 17 times in the theater, so you must have liked something about it. So,
well, with that statement, you're also saying then we have an Empire Strikes Back coming here. And I don't think anybody's going to complain if we see another Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. I wasn't complaining. All I'm saying is
Kathleen Kennedy is sending a casting call out tomorrow for people to play Ewoks. I'm just saying, like, it's happening.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
sign up. You'd probably fit that.
That would be too.
We are going to have Teddy Bear Picnic take two. On the forest moon of Endor. Not actually Endor. The forest moon of Endor. So that has to be clear. And, like, and I'm sure, and, like, you see, like, the production stills coming out of, like, The Last Jedi. Like, we're going to have a Z-Wing. And instead of, you know, we've got the new AT-AT with, like, the weird gorilla arms. I'm sure there's some cool take they can do on the AT-ST, like, with the two legs. Like, I'm sure there could be a new kind of forest speeder thing that they could make with, I don't know, two-seater? I don't know. Like, I think Disney would like nothing more for them to just remake the first three movies with new people in them. And they would be totally okay with that. And it would make all the money. And people would complain, but they would still go see it. multiple times.
All right, so moving on from Star Wars, which is definitely an interesting topic that we'll keep an eye on. Newer Justice League trailer or footage came out, and we've been teased, like when Alfred's like, he said you would come, and there's a lot of things that have happened in the previous Justice League trailers that have pretty much teased to Superman returning. And everybody knows Henry Cavill's in it. Everybody knows that he's Superman in it because they already talked about the digital mustache removal and everything like that. So no big spoilers there. But they showed some footage, and there's a couple stills now, if you hit the Googles, that show him in his black Batman suit. So in the comics, after Superman is killed and he returns, there's a brief time where he is in a black Batman suit, and it looks like they're going to repeat that in the movies. So what do you guys think about that?
I think you keep saying black Batman suit instead of black Superman
suit. Black Superman suit. You know, Batman, it's just Batman's that much better. And Batman typically wears black.
If he's rocking the black Batman suit, I'm on board. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, I think Cavill would make an amazing Bruce Wayne and Batman. But, no, it's the worst kept secret in the DCEU. Like, right. Like, anybody who didn't think it was happening was just lying to themselves.
We had this figured out before we knew he was going to die in Dawn of Justice, and we knew he was going to come back before he even died in Dawn of Justice. So it's one of those things. And it's actually the toys that they released that are showing the black Superman suit. So as typical, we've seen this happen over the past few years, especially as they're marketing the toys spoiling some of the costumes or some of the characters. But I mean, I think it seems only fitting. The stuff they're doing with Superman, they're trying to really follow the death of Superman kind of stuff in the comics, which was a good arc. It's definitely, I mean, the application has not been as great. His death was, I don't know, it was probably the best part of that movie, maybe. Dawn of Justice, that whole scene. Wonder Woman was the best part in that whole scene, but
it really just meant we were close to the end. That was
right. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's almost done. That we knew we'd hit the end of the climax, so there's just some closing scenes and we're done, and we were all relieved. Maybe that's why I enjoyed that so much. I don't know. But he is back and looks like a black Batman suit. So if you do want to see it, check out the toys. And since we're running short on times, I won't stay on that too much. But the other big thing, I wanted to get your guys' opinion on was it Nintendo came out and said, was it like Mario used to be a plumber? Like, he's not even a plumber anymore?
Yeah, that dude's famous. He doesn't have to be a plumber anymore. He's been collecting gold coins nonstop for 33 years now. Like, my man can stop plumbing. I'm on board with it. I'm fine. He never actually does any plumbing in the games anyway, so it's not important.
Yeah, I feel like the only plumbing tie they really had, even in the original ones, was the pipes, and you'd go into the underground layers that weren't really sewers or anything, and plumbers don't really hang out in sewers anyways. So I don't know. Interesting. I think it was just so they could wear the overalls, but yeah. So Mario is a 5-star athlete.
It always just reminds me of, are you familiar with the webcomic Perry Bible Fellowship?
No.
It's just it's a super weird, out there, surreal kind of webcomic, and they have like one of my personal favorite. There's a couple different takes on it. One where basically the whole Mushroom Kingdom is Mario the plumber, you know, takes mushrooms and then is in magical pipe and fairyland. But then Google Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, Bible Fellowship, Mario, and just check it out. And it's a funny comic. It makes me laugh. They're all really dark comics, so just a heads up if you go there. It's a rabbit hole of hundreds of comics that are all pretty dark and terrible, but it'll be fun.
We'll trust you on it. So, all right. So with that, we're starting to get low on time. So it's always for one of our most popular segments. I really have no clue if it's popular or not. I don't even know if anybody still listens to us. But one of our segments we do, before we move there, Tyler is sharing the comic with us of Mario and Luigi as plumbers. All right. So anyways, with that, we do bring us to our final thoughts here. And I don't know which one of you guys want to take us away. Get us started? No? Jumping in, Adam?
I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. So, I mean, obviously, final thoughts. Go play Destiny 2. PlayStation 4 does get some exclusives for this one. I think Bungie is still not super pleased with Microsoft. So there's a strike, a gear set for each of the classes, and a exotic weapon that PlayStation will have access for until at least fall 2018. So next year at the earliest for Xbox and PC for those setups. So if you're thinking about getting a game and trying to figure out where to do it, you could always do it on PlayStation to get some extras while you're at it. Also, if you're out and about buying the game tonight, stop by your grocery store, pick up some Pop-Tarts, and get XP bonus. They put them on Pop-Tarts this year. They did Red Bull with one of the releases for Destiny. So if you like Pop-Tarts, stop and pick yourself up some Pop-Tarts, get some extra XP. And if you go to Target, you can also get a Sparrow. So
any specific type of Pop-Tarts, or is it just Pop-Tarts in general?
They've got Destiny 2 themed boxes. So you got to buy that, whatever that is. For me, it was chocolate chip Pop-Tarts. So
chocolate chip.
They're not awful. I had some tonight. They were my dessert tonight, and they're pretty good. They're all right. So if you get the chocolate chip ones, you'll probably be okay.
I'm just asking for a friend if I can get the s'mores ones, because those are really important.
Like I said, I don't know. My store, I actually went to two grocery stores today looking for Pop-Tarts for Destiny themed, and one store had zero, and one store had just the chocolate chip ones left. So, but I've seen others, so I don't know.
All right.
So there's some Destiny players where you live, apparently.
I live in a college town, so yeah, there are some Destiny players where I live.
All right, Tyler, what you got for us?
Two things. One, I started a new book series at a recommendation of a friend, the October Day series by Shannon McGuire. I'd read some other stuff by her under her pen name, Mira Grant. She did the Newsflesh series and the Parasitology series, which were really fun. If you like zombies and stuff, this is more fantasy and fairies and stuff. But I'm about done with the first book that I started yesterday, and it's pretty good. Second thing is if you've got Amazon Prime, watch the new Tick series. It's surprisingly quite good. It's not Patrick Warburton, who will always be my Tick, but Peter Serafinovich is hilarious, and it's really fun. And I'm impressed. They've actually split it into two halves. They're not binging it all at once. There's six episodes up on Amazon Prime right now. Also, if you have an Alexa, Alexa has all sorts of fun, quirky skills and apps and stuff you can put on her to tell you things and play Jeopardy with her in 20 questions. But there is a new Tick one where the Tick will help encourage and he will basically help you encourage you to do your chores at home. With fun, like Tick catchphrases to help you.
Downloading right now. Downloading that skill.
Dusting the house, cleaning out the fridge, doing the dishes, meal prep, pecking for a trip. You can just ask him that you're here. Just let him know that you're doing a chore, and he'll ask what you're doing, and he'll give you some fun one-liners to help encourage you. It's pretty fantastic. It's called Just Tell Alexa to Enable Tick's Housework Hero.
Just did it. And as soon as we're done recording, I will be telling the Tick about some of my chores. That's for sure. All right. The Tick actually was going to be mine, Tyler. I'm going to say right now, I think this is the first time ever Tyler and I might have had the same closing thought here. But I did finish the Tick this weekend. And I was really impressed with it. It was really fun. It was a little disappointing, only six episodes, but it was, like you said, they're going to pump out another six here soon. So I was definitely excited about that. So I guess I will focus on Project Nerd Publishing. As mentioned, we do have Billy in stock now on multiple covers. So those that ordered from the store, your orders are going out. Kickstarter is pretty much done. I think we just have a couple perk levels left that have some stuff that needs to be ordered in. But Billy, hitting it out of the park. There's a lot of good feedback on there. But if you head over to pnpublishing.com, you can check out all that we do on the other branch of the Project Nerd brand, which is make some awesome comics. Not all by us, obviously. We do have some great creators, including the guys behind Gunface, Tim Hunger, Paul Jason Young, Bulletproof Kid with Matt Keim, and then Andrews Bergen, who makes Bullet Gal, Tobacco State Mountain Goat, and then the cool guys for Radiation Day. And I know I'm leaving stuff out, but we've got a lot of great stuff. Blue Moon, Ben Gilba, a lot of good stuff. So check all those out. Check also the ones out that I wrote. A little shameless self-promotion here. Blaze, Escort Number One. And of course, as I mentioned, Billy, pnpublishing.com, or head on over to social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Check out PN Publishing, or just type in Project Nerd Publishing. It'll take you to us. With that, I will say that's a wrap for another exciting episode. Next week is 140. So that's it's pretty impressive. We've made it to 140. We're getting pretty close to 150. Are we going to do anything special for that, guys?
Will we get to call it the sesquicentennial, because that's, I mean, that's 150 years. So I feel like that's close. I'll come up with something specific.
I'll practice.
It's also one of my favorite words in the English language.
I'll practice saying it. Sesquicentennial. Sesquicentennial. All right. Sesquicentennial episode. That's going to be exciting. So we're only about, depending if we miss a few weeks, we're only about what, three or so months away from that. So this winter sometime, I know we'll miss some weeks, especially because we have holidays and everything like that too. And busy schedules. But once again, catch us in just a few weeks at Rocky Mountain Con. So we'll get ready to close out the year convention wise. And then you can always check us out over at projectnerd.com. That's with the hyphen in between Project Nerd. Or like I said, pnpublishing.com. So with that, I bid you adieu until episode 140.
If you're in South Florida, get the fuck out. What are you still doing there?
Yeah, be safe. Be safe.
That's a good call out. Yes. So there, of course. It
should hit Saturday or Sunday. So this is Friday now. So if it's gotten worse, unless it's gotten significantly faster or significantly weaker, maybe you should not be where you are right now if you're listening to us in South Florida.
For those one or two people that are listening to us. But hey, we try to help.
Yeah.
So
yeah, mom, get to high ground, mom. Get to high ground.
That's true. That's true there. So all right. With that, till next week, same nerd time, same nerd channel.